Now, you, right at the beginning of the day today, you testified about a spot of blood, or a spot that tested, Pam tested positive at the top of the upstairs level.
Yes.
Now, that's not on the main level, but actually the upstairs level, main level being kitchen and living room, and the upstairs level where the other room is.
I don't know who stayed up there, but yes, up the stairs on that one up there.
Okay. And that's in exhibit, that's demonstrated in exhibit 145 and 146. And you conducted this KM test, which I think you testified earlier is an indication that this could be blood.
Right.
And this was a scene of a child homicide.
Right.
And you didn't take any swabs. Did no further testing at that spot. Potentially blood.
That's correct.
Was there sufficient material in that spot to have conducted a DNA test had you taken a swab?
Yes.
But you didn't feel like it was necessary because it was far away from the other evidence that you wanted?
Well, as I kind of explained earlier, as we walked through that initial walkthrough and scene, we saw reddish-brown stains. We noticed that one at the top. As we decided where to concentrate our efforts in processing the crime scene, seeing all the reddish-brown liquid that was upstairs and the distance between where the victim was found, flight of stairs, middle level, another flight of stairs to where that drop was found, no other indication along that stairwell moving up or in any of those other rooms that we saw any type of blood trail or anything like that along those stairs. We felt like that separation meant that the crime scene was from that main level down, so that's where we concentrated our efforts.
But if you had analyzed that, you would have known whether that blood or that spot was blood first. Right?
Correct.
And you would have been able to tell whether that spot, if it was blood, belonged to Sarah Moon.
Potentially, yes.
Or if it was even a combination of the blood of Serena Moon and someone else.
Right.
Yeah. But because you didn't take that swab, we have no way of knowing.
That's correct.
And you didn't prepare any formal report that you provided to the district attorney's office. Indicating that that spot that you had tested, that the KM test indicated that that spot could potentially be one.
No, my crime scene report basically states generalities of things that we did at the scene. So in my crime scene report, it states that we arrived at scene, we processed the scene, did some Castle Minor testing, collected evidence, those types of things, but nothing specific regarding testing that we did is in that report.
But you kept personal notes that you didn't turn over to the district attorney that indicated to you that that did test positive on the Castle Minor test.
I have my crime scene notes, which we collect and maintain during the processing. We don't release any of our notes unless we are given a grandma request by defense or prosecution. So, no, I did not produce those notes to anybody, which is not something we do ever, unless we're given a grandma request.
Not even in a child homicide scene.
If they're requested that we're given our reports out, which states what we did, but if our actual notes are requested, they are government records, so they can be obtained by prosecution or defense or whoever needs them, but a grandma request, which is a government record, I'm not sure what it all stands for, but can be supplied to the laboratory, and then those notes can be supplied to whoever is making that request.
When you prepare your reports for the district attorney, you expect the district attorney to be able to rely upon the fact that anything that had evidentiary value would be in that report.
Well, first of all, I just want to clarify, my reports are generated for the agency. So South Salt Lake PD is the agency that submitted the evidence to us. So the reports I generate, I give to them, which, you know, oftentimes end up to the prosecution, or they can call and we can, you know, supply them. So, and then ask me the question again, I'm sorry.
My mistake. Let me rephrase the question. You expect South Salt Lake Police Department to be able to rely on the fact that you're going to put everything of evidentiary value in the reports that you generate.
Not necessarily.
So you expect the district attorney's office or the defense office to have to do a grandma request to find out what has evidentiary value in your case?
No, but in our reports, and I'm trying to see, I don't think it's listed in the crime scene report, so there may be, but in my general report, serology and DNA, we put a statement that the above interpretation does not represent the totality of the forensic scientist's observation and conclusion. Further discussion and or questions are encouraged. So that's kind of the, I guess, mentality I look at is this is a report, especially crime scene, because we can't specify every single thing that we've done. We do the best we can to give a situation report as to what we did, kind of the basic situation, but encourage further discussion, which after processing a crime scene, you know, usually happens with follow-up. As the agency submitting the evidence to us, especially homicide cases, we'll meet with detectives, crime scene people, our lab personnel, and discuss what needs to be done, what's most probative in the case, those types of things.
So the district attorney can guess what might be important that was left out for the oral patient. I have a little bit of time to swap that spot
at the crime scene. Yes.
You take whatever time is necessary to thoroughly examine the crime scene.
Absolutely.
And you've been doing this for a while, quite well.
Well, in forensics since 2002.
And you were not just a crime scene technician, but you were the leader of the crime scene technicians on this crime scene.
That's correct.
And you knew that the entire apartment was constituted the crime scene.
Right. But also, if you do a kind of a comparison, if this courthouse was considered a crime scene because something happened on this level, as I would come in to process, I would check all levels, see that there's blood trail in this hallway, and I would concentrate that area. I would look at the different areas, but if there's no indication that the crime happened up on the fifth floor or no other, you know, things that lead me to believe that that crime has taken its place up there or gone up there, then I would narrow my crime scene. You set up a typical crime scene processing is you set up a wide perimeter as you start processing the scene and find evidence. You can narrow your perimeter and shrink it down until you have your main focus of the crime scene. And I feel like that's what I did in this situation where the whole apartment, yes, was considered the crime scene, but as I looked at what had happened, where the evidence was leading me. Yes, there was, you know, potential blood stain on that landing. One drop that tested positive for KM. No other indications of a blood trail up there. It's not uncommon to have a blood drink, blood spot, you know, right next to a bathroom with multiple people that live in one home. So all putting all of those things together, my logic told me the crime scene is from the main level down.
This is right, I understand. Nobody's doing it. But in this apartment, with no doors separating the upper level, the main level, from the bottom level, if that spot had been tested, and if it were the blood of Sarah Lewis, it would vastly affect the complexion of this case, would it not?
In my opinion, no.
Because you don't know where the roommate slept and where who slept where in that apartment.
Well, if you're asking my opinion, that blood stain, her Cerner Moon's blood is in that apartment. So if that's her blood, and that's her blood, but I think there's more evidence pertaining to the jacket or things like that that have her blood on it that ties to a potential suspect.